Hello, and welcome to the Virtue Podcast. This is Christy Robillard teaching session 3 for our Timeless series, The Holy Spirit, Power Beyond Ourselves. This title is so intriguing because we know we need power beyond ourselves, don't we? This title also reminds me of a favorite quote from a favorite book by Jim Cimbala, Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire. And he writes this, "What we needed was a fresh wind and fresh fire. We needed the Holy Spirit to transform the desperate lives of people all around us. I longed and cried out for God to change everything. Me, the church, and our passion for people. I hungered for God to break through in our lives and ministry, and I discovered an astonishing truth. God is attracted to weakness. He can't resist those who humbly and honestly admit how desperately they need him," unquote. Isn't that good? It's so good. And you know what? I'm desperate for him to break through in my life too, in the lives of the people around me. What about you? Are you desperate for this too? If you are, will you stop what you're doing right now if you're in the middle of something and just pray with me for a moment? Holy Spirit, you know us and you see us, and we are saying we are desperate for you. We humble ourselves and admit how desperately we really need you to break through in our lives, to transform us, to experience power beyond ourselves. We need to experience and experience more of your transforming work in our lives and in the people all around us. Change me. Change those who are listening to this podcast. Change our hearts, because we do need fresh wind and fresh fire. So speak and minister to our hearts now. And I ask this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, I have a really precious photo of myself, our Kathy Laurie, and Tiffany Velasquez on our knees, calling out to the Lord together in this very way during one of our fervent prayer meetings. It was February 8th, 2020. Oh, and I believe the prayers prayed that day and on so many other days by so many other saints years before and after are why we are seeing the beginnings of revival today. I believe this. The Holy Spirit is stirring up the hearts of his people and those who belong to him but don't even know it yet. Romans 8 tells us that the Spirit's groans are too deep for words and that he is interceding for us right now. In this very moment that you are listening to this podcast, I'm speaking, you are listening, and he is praying for us and praying on our behalf. And while we are witnessing the exciting movement of the Holy Spirit, we also see the powers of darkness at work like never before. But the light overcomes the darkness, John 1:5. Just like when you turn a lamp on in a totally dark room, you can see what you could not see before. The reason being for this is because light is a greater energy force than darkness. One small lamp with one small light bulb can illuminate an entire room that had been completely dark before. Jesus is the light of the world, and by extension, we are his light by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He is the power that lights up the darkness wherever we go. In this session, I'm focusing on who the Holy Spirit is and how he works. This is an exciting study, and I'll be referencing some very interesting passages of Scripture, so I hope that you're ready to do some note-taking. So on page 25 of your lesson, you are asked to list a few things you believe to be true about the Holy Spirit. And so I'm wondering, was there too much space or not enough for your answer? This is some of what I wrote. He is God. He is eternal. He was in the beginning of creation. He was involved in creation. He is the power. He is the promise. He is the gift. He is teacher, counselor, and comforter. He leads. He speaks. He prays. He is with us and in us. And the same power that rose Jesus from the grave is alive and active in all of us who believe, and He loves us, and I am in relationship with Him. And maybe being in relationship with the Holy Spirit is a new thought for you. I appreciate there is a lot of misunderstanding about who the Holy Spirit really is. He seems mysterious to so many people, and probably because of His primary title as the Holy Spirit, or as the King James translates, the Holy Ghost. Some are just not that comfortable with Him and don't really want to know Him, let alone be in relationship with Him. So I thought about this. Maybe we can more easily understand how we can be in relationship to the Father and the Son simply because of their titles, especially the fact that Jesus came to earth in a real physical body. These are just more relatable to us than maybe that title of Holy Spirit. But remember, Jesus said, God is Spirit, John 4:24. The Holy Spirit is the one who led you to truth because He is truth. The Holy Spirit is the one who led you to Jesus, and He is the one who is with you right now, desirous to be in relationship with you so that you can be all that you were meant to be, to live a dynamic life of faith in Christ, to do things you thought you could never do. When we read Scripture and are paying attention, we see Him everywhere, including in the Old Testament, where He is identified in these primary ways. He is called the Spirit of God in Genesis 1:2. He is called us in Genesis 1:26, and my Spirit in Genesis 6:3. He is called the Spirit of Lord God in Isaiah 61:1, and the Spirit of the Lord in Judges 3:10 and 6:34, and other passages of Scripture. He is also called the Spirit of Grace in Zechariah 12:10. So when you look for Him, He is there, whether on the pages of your Bible or His activities on earth. Tozer writes in his book, Knowledge of the Holy, a popular belief among Christians divides the work of God between the three persons of the Holy Trinity, giving a specific part to each. For instance, creation to the Father, redemption to the Son, and regeneration to the Holy Spirit. This is partly true, but not wholly so, for God cannot divide Himself. That one person works while another is inactive. In the Scriptures, the three persons are shown to act in harmonious unity in all the mighty works through the universe. And Tozer also writes, such truth had to be revealed. No one could have imagined it. Unquote. We can do our best to connect the dots of our understanding through mental energy, but ultimately, spiritual truth must be revealed by the Spirit. Paul writes about this unique and mysterious truth in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Eugene Peterson translates 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16, in paraphrase style in the Message this way: the unspiritual self, just as it is by nature, can't receive the gift of God's Spirit. There's no capacity for them. They seem like so much silliness. Spirit can be known only by Spirit, God's Spirit, and our spirits in open communion. Spiritually alive, we have access to everything God's Spirit is doing and can't be judged by unspiritual critics, unquote. Isn't that good? How can flesh understand things of the Spirit when they are diametrically opposed? Because the flesh is corruptible, the Spirit is incorruptible. So how do we experience this? Spirit being known only by the Spirit. Through new birth, as Jesus explains to Nicodemus in John 3:3. Paul additionally helps our understanding about this as he writes in his second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 17. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, new things come. In order to be a home or a dwelling place for the Holy Spirit and be in relationship with Him and understand spiritual truths, we need to be a new creation. The old things, the flesh, cannot contain the Holy Spirit or understand spiritual truths more than just a concept. Many years ago, this verse from 2 Corinthians was the theme for a retreat that I spoke for. I appreciated the thoughts the hostess for the retreat had in connection to it, which was primarily focusing on old things having passed away, the idea of letting go of what was in the past. And this is a good application for sure, but the Holy Spirit ministered to me something I hadn't appreciated before, and it's this. We must be a new creation in order to have the capacity to be a dwelling place for the Holy Spirit. It's a simple revelation, but instructs us as to how we can behold new things. We are a new creation. We don't have to strive to do anything in our own strength. He has already done it. The Greek word for creation from this verse is literally a building. You're a completely new building, a new home, which is so much better than a patched up and renovated one, right? You know what? I see my flaws, and there are plenty, but He sees the new creation, the new fresh building that still smells like fresh paint. You know that smell? It just smells so good and clean. And the Father sees His own dear, perfect, and sacrificial Son within us through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And as the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, this is also what makes us a new creation. This happens simultaneously at our conversion, and this is being born again. So as a new creation, born again, Romans 12:1 urges us to present our bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God. Dr. James Gray of the Moody Bible Institute, in the book They Found the Secret, says this about Romans 12:1. This verse does not tell us to whom we should present our bodies. The Lord Jesus has His own body. It is not the Father. He remains upon His throne. Another came to earth without a body. God could have made a body for Him, as He did for Jesus, but He didn't do that. God gives you the privilege and the indescribable honor of presenting your bodies to the Holy Spirit to be His dwelling place. Unquote. Isn't that special? What a special thought. I so appreciate the simplicity of Dr. Gray's explanation. The Holy Spirit just needed a body, and you are His body. The humility of God, how He came to earth in the womb of a young girl, learned obedience, suffered and died. And if that wasn't low enough, He came to earth to live in our bodies. Pretty amazing. And this is how we can literally be the tangible hands of Christ. Everywhere you go, He isn't just there. He's in you and me as we perform our service. It is Him who does it through us. We don't use Him. He uses us. And while we have all of Him, we are all in process of learning how to let Him have all of us, to live a more Spirit-inspired and controlled life, power beyond ourselves. Okay, so now I have another interesting verse for you. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and I want you to read along with me, beginning in verse 16. But whenever a man turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. Wow, this liberty or freedom that Paul is writing about is not licensed to do as we please, but that we are liberated from the bondage of the law through the Spirit. We are free to behold the glory of the Lord and have the capacity to do so because of the Holy Spirit indwelling us. And when we behold Him or look intently at Him, we are transformed into the same image. What? Transformed into the same image? Yeah, that's what we just read. And all we have to do is behold Him? Yeah, we read that too. You see, this is freedom. And this is what freedom looks like. You know, we can't do this on our own or in our flesh. This can't be done through following rules or rituals. It's done by the Spirit. Whenever a man turns to the Lord, that's what Scripture says. In other words, to turn is enough. And to turn is describing our conversion. That's all we have to do. I kind of feel like this is a Selah moment, you know, just kind of pause and think about it for a moment. I've seen His transforming work in my life. I'm not the same person I was 40 years ago, 10 years ago, or even this time last year. I see His transforming work in me, in my family and friends. I see it in those I serve and serve with. I've seen the grip of anxiety transformed into peace. I've seen the grip of anger transformed into gentleness. I've seen where there was faithlessness transformed into faithfulness. I've seen depression transformed into joy. And I've seen where there has been hate transformed into love. These things can only be explained by a supernatural work, power beyond ourselves. And you know, maybe you're discouraged today, thinking and feeling like you aren't seeing His transforming work take place in you. Then behold Him. Continuously be in His presence, in your consciousness. He is with you, so you be with Him. How? Well, the lesson made the point about abiding in Him from John 15 on page 30. Abide means to remain. It is a deliberate act of devotion, conversation, and submission to His promptings. Jesus died for you. This is how you live for Him. God wants to use you in ways you can never imagine. I was prompted recently by a probing question the Holy Spirit brought to my mind. What if your most useful and powerful years of ministry are right in front of you? The implication being today. Do you hear Him? Then get serious. The Holy Spirit has plans to use you to do things in His kingdom that are far greater than you can possibly imagine, to use you in ways which are specific to your calling, and not by might nor by power, but by My Spirit, says the Lord Almighty, Zechariah 4:6. Let's not just think about this, but pray over it. So will you pray with me again? So, Holy Spirit, I ask that You fall upon us now with power. We need You to transform us, even now, to do things in us and for us that we can't do for ourselves. Help us to develop our relationship with You, Holy Spirit, having a greater dependence on You, to understand You more and more each day. And we also ask for all of the spiritual gifts to be distributed upon us that will edify the church and give You glory. I pray for those who don't yet know their calling and the unique ways in which You want to work through them. Give them vision, give them a hunger and even a burden for their assigned ministry. And help us to stay aware of Your presence within us and to give You Your way in each day. And so it's in Your holy name that we pray. Amen.